It's a glorious day.
Amen.
It's a great day.
Amen.
Yesterday was a great day.
Yes, it was.
Amen.
You know, we sing that song, "There's a Great Day Coming."
Yeah.
There's a great day here.
That's right.
This is the Lord's day. In fact, you know what the greatest day is? The one we're living in.
That's right.
That's the only day in which anything can be done. Whatever we didn't do yesterday didn't get done, and it'll never get done.
Right.
I mean, you could do it today, but what you should have done yesterday is what you should have done. But that's not what I want to talk about. That's just me rambling on. I want to talk this morning. You know, I like to keep things simple because I like to be understood, and that's kind of how my mind thinks anyway. And so I want to stay as simple and basic as I can this morning. And I have had a cold, you might notice that, and I'll try not to let that interfere too much with what I am saying, and I hope it doesn't get too annoying for you. And I do also want to take a moment to welcome the visitors that we have. We have several here that are visiting with us, and I want you to feel comfortable and welcome and free to come and visit with us at any time that you can. What I want to talk about is guilt. And we know what that is,
yeah. All
of us. But more specifically, I want to talk about living without guilt. Because guilt is a great burden.
Yes, it is.
It's a load to carry to feel guilty. Guilt can ruin your life. Guilt does ruin people's lives.
Yeah.
And if we're to escape that, then we must listen to what God has to say. And that's the good news, that God has provided a way around it. We have to listen to Him, and we have to learn, and we have to deal with guilt properly. Now, I'm told that many years ago, quite a few years ago now, that a psychology class from Harding University in Arkansas toured the state mental hospital. And they met a man there who had deliberately removed both of his hands in a bandsaw. Yeah, it's kind of extreme, isn't it? And his behavior was bizarre, to say the least, but it seemed even stranger when they looked into his case and they found that up until that point in his life, he seemed to be perfectly normal. He seemed to be well-adjusted. He seemed to be happy. He had a good job. He had a good home, a good loving family, and a bright future. But there's some things that they didn't know, some things that were deeper inside of this man, obviously. And it turns out that he served during World War II, and he was on a ship that had been destroyed by the enemy. And so he spent one day several hours in the sea clinging to a small piece of wreckage from the ship, recognizing that his life was in jeopardy and waiting for rescue. And he was scared and he was cold and he was afraid. And then one of his shipmates drifted up next to him and tried to grab on to the same piece of wreckage. And he feared that that small piece of wreckage would not support the both of them. And so he pushed the man away and he watched him drown. No one saw, only he and God. Nobody knew what he did. Yet his sense of guilt stuck with him. He never talked of it with anyone, ever. Kept it to himself, but it kept eating at him. His life was miserable, though on the surface he appeared to be just fine. And then one day, he just decided to remove the offending parts of his body. out of his desperate attempt to deal with his guilt. Make no mistake, guilt can make us miserable. Guilt can destroy our lives. And it has been around from the beginning. It is nothing new. And like I said, this is simple. We understand guilt. I believe we do. It has moved people over the centuries to do some strange, bizarre things. Remember the garden with Adam and Eve? After they had sinned, their sense of guilt, when God showed up, what did they do? They tried to hide from God. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
They knew they couldn't. They knew who God was. They knew of his power, of his ability. Yet it moved them to try to hide. They were ashamed. What about Judas, who betrayed Christ? His guilt moved him to take his own life. Judas was miserable with what he had done. Now, never mind that there was another way around, but he didn't take that. He chose to end his own life. But then there's the case of Saul of Tarsus, we come to know as Paul eventually. And notice his guilt moved him to change his life to the better, to become the man, the great man that wrote the epistles in the New Testament, a great man of faith that stood for the truth. So you see, guilt can have its place in our lives. And we'll talk about that as we go on. Used correctly, guilt can have a positive effect in our lives. It can move us to do things in order to rid ourselves of the guilt, to listen to God, to have an intimate relationship with him and his people. But used incorrectly, it burdens our hearts. It brings us down. It's hard to believe how low some people go because of the guilt that they feel in their lives. It causes us to do strange, unnatural, harmful things to ourselves. I've done that. I've beat myself up. Haven't you? Over something you've done that you knew you shouldn't have done. Usually it's that. But sometimes it's something you know you should have done and you didn't.
Yeah.
And the opportunity is gone. Think back to King David. What a great man that King David was. But you know what? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. That was bad enough, right? And he felt guilty about that. And so what did he do? He tried to hide it up. Or tried to hide it. He tried to keep it from people. So he lied about it. And that didn't work very well. So eventually he had Bathsheba's husband killed. That's murder. And this sin left David, because down deep David loved God. He believed in God. And it left David devastated with guilt. Psalms 51, that's kind of the text. I'm not going to be reading it, maybe a little bit, but it's filled with what David had to say about his guilt. And in this text, we hear him explaining what guilt was doing to him, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Listen, David says, I know my transgression. I can't forget it. My sin is always before me. When I kept silent, listen to this. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Notice what guilt was doing to David. This was a physical thing. It was making him sick. I feel that God is no longer present in my life. I feel he has withdrawn his salvation from me. I feel that my worship is sacrilege and hypocritical. David pleads with God. David is desperate. He wants God's forgiveness. He wants God to take the guilt away from him.
Amen.
David is not alone, is he?
No.
Some of us, I'm going to venture to say, feel guilt right now.
Yeah.
As David did. We know the burden of it. We know what it is doing to our minds, to our hearts, and to our souls. But there's a way out. There is a way out.
Amen.
Now let's define guilt. I know we know what it is, but sometimes even when we define words that we know, it kind of helps us get a handle on it. Now guilt is a cognitive or an emotional experience that occurs when a person believes or realizes, accurately or not, that he or she has compromised his or her own standards of conduct and has violated a moral standard and bears significant responsibility for that violation. That's a lot of words, but we understand that, I think. What is this telling us? Guilt is a direct result of our sin.
Amen.
That's the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
Guilt and sin together. That's where it comes from. Or at least what we perceive to be sin. See, violating our own conscience, even if it's something that God allows, if we perceive it to be wrong and we do it, we're guilty. We will feel guilt, shame, and remorse. When we've done something wrong or failed to do right, that's the result. It must be something I could have done. You ever do that to yourself? The situation is past and something undesirable has happened, something bad. And you think back on the situation and you begin to say, I should have said this. I should have done that. But you didn't. And you feel guilty. I want to take a look because the Bible teaches, I believe, about two different kinds of guilt. And I'm gonna use the terms objective guilt and subjective guilt. And don't let that scare you because it's pretty easy. We'll start with objective guilt. Objective guilt can be called theological guilt. And it has to do with the fact that we are guilty. That's it. That's the bottom line, right? If you have ever sinned, then you are guilty. And so am I. This isn't an opinion. This isn't something you feel or don't feel. This is just true. That's objective, right?
Right.
Whether or not you know it, whether or not you feel it, you're guilty. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. Remember Paul or Saul? We're going to go back to him again. He opposed Jesus. He actively, physically opposed Jesus and those that believed in Jesus. He went after them. And yet, remember what Paul said? I have lived in all good conscience before God.
Right.
Paul didn't feel guilty about what he would have done. Was he guilty? Yes. That's objective guilt. He was guilty because what he did was sinful, whether he felt it or knew it or not. Now, sometimes, though, we experience objective guilt, or subjective guilt, I should say. You know, it's guilt that we do feel because we know that we did something wrong, or we believe or perceived that we did something wrong, so we feel it. You know, I want to go back for a minute to the objective guilt, because there's one point here that I want to make. Sometimes we don't feel guilty because our consciences have been seared.
That's true.
Understand what I mean? There's some people that never feel guilty about anything that they do. Now, objectively, they are guilty, but they don't have the subjective guilt. They don't feel it. There are people. Now, that is sad. Those people, most of them end up in prison. Maybe not all of them, but they don't have that gauge that God builds into us. Subjective guilt, feeling guilt, either because we are or because we think that we are. You know that. You do. I know you do. I know that. Guilt is a consequence of wrongdoing, whether we feel it or not. And both objective and subjective guilt, we must deal with them properly. So that's what I want to look into, just for a few moments. Notice with me some wrong ways that we try to deal with our guilt. Sometimes we rationalize our sin. Well, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, but it's not so bad. Come on now.
Yeah.
Now, if you do it, I don't feel the same way, okay? But it was me that did it, and I know I'm a good guy, right? Well, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And I try to make it something other than what it is. Sin.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not so bad. It's sin. It is so bad. What am I trying to do? I'm trying not to feel guilty for my sin. I've done it. I've done it. Maybe you have too. But it doesn't work for me. Probably doesn't work for you either, because it always comes back around. What I know to be the truth always comes back around and says, who are you kidding? You know better than that.
That's right.
You know you are guilty, and there's a way to deal with it. Okay, that didn't work. So how about we just deny our guilt? That's pretty simple, isn't it? You sinned. No, I didn't. It wasn't wrong. Everybody's doing it, right? Nobody thinks that is wrong. What's wrong with you? Get with the times. I didn't sin. You know, this is 2017. It's okay. Denial. Have we done that?
Yeah.
Some of us now, we try to run. Remember Jonah?
Yes.
I'm not going to go into the Jonah story, but he's a good example of trying to run. But we try to run sometimes. We try to escape our guilt. Some of us will use alcohol or some other drug,
right,
to try to escape, to get away from the feeling that we have that we don't want to have. And so we crawl into the bottle, and you know what? Every single person eventually comes to the same conclusion. Doesn't work.
Amen.
It doesn't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because the problem is a heart problem. It's inside of you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, it is still there, and it's going to come out. It's going to come to the surface, and it's going to demand that you deal with it.
Right.
Some of us, we try to hide our sin. Well, if nobody knows about it, then it didn't happen.
That's right.
Right? I don't have to feel guilty. Nobody knows. Everybody thinks I'm great. You know, that's what David tried to do with Bathsheba, isn't it?
Right.
He brought her husband home from the front lines. Nice guy, right? Well, no, he wanted him to be with Bathsheba so that when the child was born, they would believe it was her husband's child. But he didn't go to be with Bathsheba, did he? And so David said, all right, then I'm just going to kill him. And that's what he did. And this is a man after God's own heart, remember?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
But it didn't mean he didn't sin. David had him killed. Nobody knew except David. He knew, and God. David didn't forget it, did he?
No.
He lived in misery after that. Why? Because he cared. He wanted to please God, and he knew until he dealt with his guilt, he was unpleasing to God. Now, others think, and I think a lot of us fall into this, we can atone for our guilt. Well, I'll just make up for it. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. That was a sin. So I'll just work harder in God's kingdom. I'll do more for God. I'll become a better person. I'll treat my family and my kids the way that I should be treating them. I'll read my Bible more. I'll pray more. And I'll give more to the church. I'll help people. Well, good. But you know what? You're still guilty. Mm-hmm. See, we got to understand that. Now listen to this. Self-righteousness and personal good works can never forgive any sin. Not even one. Your works are not the way your sin is forgiven. Doesn't happen that way. So what do all of these so-called solutions have in common? One thing I can think of is none of them work.
That's right.
Now, to some degree or another, I'm going to confess, I know this because I've tried most of these things, and you probably have too.
Amen.
And some of them, on the surface, for a few minutes, seem to help. But then they don't, and things are worse.
Amen.
Isn't that the way it is?
Yeah.
They don't work. So, all right, these things don't work. That's not the way to get rid of sin, and it's not the way to get rid of guilt. So what do we do? How can we rid ourselves of guilt? Make the first suggestion here for you this morning. We must be willing to acknowledge our sins.
Amen.
Take ownership of your guilt.
That's right.
Don't deny it. See, here's the thing. You're still guilty, whether you don't. Take a hold of it. You don't have to be proud of it. I'm not saying that. But take ownership of it and say, yes, this is me. This is what I have done. I am guilty. And stand before God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, acknowledge our sins, own up to our own attitude and behavior, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Are you listening to this?
Mm-hmm.
God's got to be in the picture.
Amen.
You got to own up to who you are and what you are and let God take over. Sins are forgiven in confession, this tells us. In acknowledgement, we must come to God with a broken, contrite, repentant heart, willing to give in. We must come to Him in genuine sorrow. And here's the thing. You can't mess with God. You can't play games. People will look at you and just say, look at how pitiful and sorrowful you are and feel sorry for you. And you don't feel any sorrow at all. Well, you got them all fooled, right? Not God. Not God. You're still guilty and you're not forgiven. God knows what's inside of you. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for every sin that I have ever committed. Now get this, or that you have ever committed.
That's right.
But not just that. He died for every sin, not only that you have committed, but that you ever will commit.
That's right.
Jesus died for all of our sins. And He not only forgives what we were, and I need that. I need for God to forgive me for what I was, but you know what else I need? I need Him to forgive me for what I am sometimes. I need Him to forgive me today for the sin that I did today. And probably tomorrow I'm going to need Him to forgive me again.
Amen.
He just keeps forgiving. That's what God does. John tells us, and he tells us that if we walk in the light, remember that?
Yeah.
If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us. It purifies us from all sin. It removes our sin. John is telling us that if we are living faithful lives, then all our sins, both the sins that we know about and the sins that we don't, objective and subjective sins, all of those sins are being forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Now, two verses later, I'm just going to throw this in. We're not going to study this right now. But two verses later, he tells us that confession is a part of walking in the light. We need to understand that. Secondly, accept this, brothers and sisters. Accept that perfection doesn't exist in anyone. It doesn't exist in a family member. I thought very, very highly of my father, but he wasn't perfect. I've thought and do think very highly of preachers, even the one that sits here on the front row.
Amen.
But you know what? He's not perfect either. I've thought very highly of, in my youth, of some leaders in the church. And there was a time even when I thought some of these men were perfect.
Yeah.
But they weren't. They never were. People aren't. The scripture tells us there is none righteous. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Jesus, now get this, Jesus didn't come into this world to enable us to live a perfect life. See, what that does is it puts the glory on us. If we live a perfect life, what Jesus did, he came to forgive our sins, to remove our guilt, and thereby he makes us perfect. It is him that does it. But you know, you take him away, and it's true, absolutely none of us are perfect.
That's right.
But if we allow him to take all of our imperfections away, every one of us, then we're all perfect in that sense.
Amen.
You know, Jesus came that we might have life and have it. It's the scripture says have it more abundantly. That means that Jesus came for us to have life at its very best. He wants us to be happy, complete, and fulfilled. That's why he makes it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins. See, that's the key, isn't it? If you don't have any sin, then you don't have anything to feel guilty about. We need to understand that. That's what Jesus came to do. Now, thirdly, and this seems so simple that we miss it sometimes, we need to learn to accept God's forgiveness.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we know intellectually, and I'm going to speak for sure for myself for this, that God has forgiven me because he said he will. I confess my sin. I'm generally sorry for it. I repent. I turn away. I ask God to forgive. And I know that God tells the truth. I know I'm forgiven. But I continue to beat myself up about what I did. Sometimes it's because I can see the repercussions of what I did. You too, huh? You know, we know we're forgiven, but that doesn't mean that the sin isn't still doing its work. But you got to lighten up on yourself. If God forgives you, accept it.
Amen.
Accept that you're forgiven. You know, some of us, we just can't let go of our guilt. We felt guilty for so long, I think some of us don't know how to live without it.
Right. Amen.
Accept sin. Believe in, live in, trust in God's forgiveness. If God says you're okay, who's to say different?
Nobody.
Nobody. Absolutely. If God says you're okay, even you yourself do not have the right to say, well, I feel guilty. No, you can't feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it now. What is that saying if God forgives you and you still feel guilty? What does that say about your faith in God's promises and what God says He does for you? Doesn't it show a lack of faith?
Yes.
And not only that, it makes your life miserable. If you're going to be a Christian and be miserable, you might as well go out in the world and partake of everything they have offer and be miserable. But don't do that, okay? Don't do that. Be a Christian and don't be miserable. You don't have to be. You make it happen to yourself. And finally, it's my last point. We need to stop sinning. Yep. We need to stop sinning. You say, well, that's impossible. Well, you can start to stop.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? If you make no effort, you won't stop. If there's a sin you're committing over and over again, work on that one. You might find that you can stop doing that. You probably do something else. Yeah, I know. I know how it works. But, you know, you remember the adulterous woman that was brought before Jesus in their attempt to trap him. And Jesus told him, you know, the one that's not guilty, throw the first stone at her. And then they all left. And what did Jesus tell her? He told her to go away. Didn't he? Enjoy life and sin no more. Sin no more. See, that's a part of walking in the light, is making a commitment to do our very best to forsake that sin that so easily besets us. That's what the scripture tells us, right? Make it a little harder for the sin to beset us. We can do that.
Yeah.
We can grow. We can get stronger and resist sin better. When we sin, we have the Holy Spirit that talks to us. Did you know that?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit tells us things. And you know how He does it? He affects your heart.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He does for me. When I sin, boy, I want to tell you something. As soon as I did it, the Holy Spirit says, uh-oh. Right in here, He says, uh-oh, you did it. And I know I did it, right? I don't argue with God. I know it. And I have to deal with it. You know, that kind of guilt that I feel, I thank God for that.
Amen.
That's the thing that moves me to deal with sin. I don't have to feel it very long, do I?
That's right.
I can give it to God and let it go.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. It's God designed it that way. He wants to help us deal with our sins.
Amen.
If you're not a Christian and you're here with us this morning, you might feel guilty. And I don't want to say this in a mean way, but I hope you do. Because, like I said, you remember the objective guilt? Whether you feel guilty or not, you are. And I don't say that in a mean way either. You are. You need what God offers to get rid of that guilt.
Right.
You need Jesus. You need to do the actions that are prescribed in the New Testament. You need to have faith. You need to repent and turn away from your sins. And you need to go down into the waters of baptism and have your sins washed away.
Amen.
Then you start, right? To deal with sin every day. It's not over.
No.
It's over for the moment. Think about that. And then I'll take that. Coming up out of that water and being born again, being free from your sin, for that moment, I'll take that.
Amen.
And you know what else I'll take? Being able to pray to God right now to forgive me.
Amen.
And knowing that I'm in the same condition. I'll take that too. And I don't think, do you do this? Oh, forgive me, God. Boy, I know this won't last. Do you do that? You know, it might be a fact, but don't, you're defeated. Don't go there. It'll last as long as it lasts. It'll last as long as you have your faith in God where it should be. You know, Saul was told, if you recall, after his faith and repentance, he was told to arise and be baptized, wash away his sins. This was after he already believed.
Right.
Let me tell you, he did believe. And he prayed. He had faith, and he still was told to arise and be baptized. Remember on the day of Pentecost when Peter convinced that group of people that they had crucified the Lord. And what did he tell them? Repent. And be baptized. They wanted to know, what can I do? Repent and be baptized. Wash away your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit. He's the one that I was just talking about that lives in here and whispers to me when I mess up. Straighten that out, right? He lives in me. You get that. You need that to help you live the rest of your life without sin.
Amen.
If we're here as Christians, and many of us are, and we have sins that need to be acknowledged before God or to other people, maybe even, or both, you need to do it today. You need to do it right now, this morning. Delay is so dangerous. Whatever your spiritual need may be, come and start living guilt-free. Do it today as we stand and sing.